I hear barking.
Check in. Yes. Yes, you do. Okay. Oh, bleep, 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 bleep. Okay, all that's taken care of. Let's wait for the dog to shut up. Somebody just come by or something. Roar. Oh, there they are. Oh, that's bad. Jadski, there's nothing going on.
Well, he's obviously bothered by something.
Who knows what? He's delusional most of the time.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Or, you know, it's something like, you know, there's a squirrel taunting him from the front yard. You know, that kind of thing.
See how that could be annoying.
Although there isn't any, like, on our, you know, that I can see on our little camera right now. But, okay.
Really?
Is he quiet? Is he quiet?
I think so.
Okay, shall I just hit start?
Yes.
Here we go. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, November 29th, 2025. It's about 17:15 UTC as we're starting to record. I am Sam Minter, and Yvonne Bo is with us again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hi.
You seem more chipper than last week. Is your recovery continuing apace?
It is. I mean, yeah, it is. You know, it's getting better.
Okay.
It is, you know, it is on an upward slope.
That's it's better than a downward slope.
Yeah. So it's making progress. It's making significant progress. Yes.
Excellent. Well,
I mean, they said 6 weeks and barely over three. So it's, you know.
So it's going the way it's supposed to go. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Anyway, we're going to do our usual, our first segment. We'll talk about lighter and frothier things and whatever, blah, 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 with Yvonne and I. I'm trying to catch up on movies and stuff. Yeah, lots of blah, blahs. Lots of blah,
lots
blahs.
Lots of blah, blahs. Lots of blah, blahs. Blah, blahs.
Lots of blah, blahs. And, you know, I'm working on catching up with the movies and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, more blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but Yvonne will pick something else undoubtedly, and then we'll do more serious stuff towards the end. The last more than half. You know, it's usually mostly serious stuff, but, you know, we like to start out with the other stuff. So what's up this week with you, Yvonne, that you want to bring up for our butt first?
Can I just say that I would be okay with not having to work again? I mean, if I could sustain the income,
yeah,
that's all I'm saying. I mean, it would be just, you know, I,
you know, this last month of being unemployed, from a mental health point of view, I am so much happier than I have been in years. Years. I am enjoying myself. I am relaxing. I'm not getting as much done as I would like to get done. That never happens, but I'm getting stuff done that I'd like to get done. And the things that I'm getting done are the things I want to get done rather than other stuff that's going on. And
you're not commuting?
Yeah, I'm not commuting. I basically mentally had said, I'll take November. And, you know, November, I'm going to just relax like this. And then come December, I have to start taking the idea of figuring out how I'll make money later more seriously, you know?
Okay.
And, but I'll be completely honest with you. The idea of actually, even though I intellectually know it is most likely what I will end up having to do, the idea of going back to a regular corporate job is like horrifies me. It's like I mentally do not want to do that. Like I want to, so I'm like, you know, I see the little things go by of like, oh, you know, make money with day trading. Oh, okay. That sounds great. You know, let me try that. Or, you know, whatever scam I get the little like texts all the time, you know. Let's see, what's the most recent one I have? Like, I'm just looking. Bah, 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 bah. They're just stupid political ones, too. Oh, but I get several of these a day. So I just have to find one that's appropriate. Oh, well, of course I get the ones that are just completely unknown numbers. Hey, long time no see. Where are you staying these days?
Where are you staying?
I get
these
several
days,
of these all, every Whoa. Day. But anyway, you guys know what I'm talking about. These make money fast things, work from home, make hundreds and hundreds of dollars every day, you know, doing nothing.
You'll make $1,000 a day working 1 hour a day.
Yeah, these kinds of things. I get these scam texts all the time and I'm like, oh, that sounds good. Maybe I could try that. You know, and,
you know, as you start deluding yourself, this shit starts becoming like viable.
Exactly.
To you. Yeah. You start to say, hey.
It's like, you know, maybe I can, I don't know. There are these scams about like sell whatever online or read it. And you look, there's all kinds of crap. Okay. And you know, I'm like letting. You know, and part of it, even on my little personal projects, I know I'm like really stretching it to think any of them could make any money whatsoever, you know, but like I spent like a lot of the time from after like all the turkey stuff was over Thanksgiving to now, like, I've been working, you know, one of the projects that I have is this Juke Potter thing for random podcast discovery. And JukePotter.com. Everybody go check it out. Anyway, like I, through my random to-do list thing, which by the way, I've also enhanced my to-do list mechanism. So I'll show you that in a second because I've got a website I can show you on that now. But, you know, what came up was, okay, work on some JukePotter again. So I started working on some JukePotter again. And the thing that was next on my list was like, figure out some monetization for it, right? So now if you go to JukePotter.com, There, I now have put in samples because nobody's actually paying me because nobody's going to this damn website, of course. But like, I've built a monetization mechanism where people can buy sponsored placements on the site, you know? And so, of course, I've put in my 4 podcasts. I've put in an additional 8 podcasts from that Snohomish Podcast Network thing that I've been going to mixers on just as samples. So, like, if you go to the site, you know, a certain, you know, sponsored ones come up if you're in the category that those things are part of. And I'm like, you know, here's the pricing model. And if it became super, super popular, I could actually charge people from it, blah, 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 blah. And now it's not got enough features yet that I'm going to go out and publicize it. And it would take a huge amount of volume to make any non-trivial amount of cash. And so most likely it would never make more than Curmudgeon's Corner makes us, which is like $25 a month. But I've built the mechanism so it could. You know, and I don't know, like, but yeah, like try. And I also like, I'm thinking, okay, you know, what's the minimum I could actually get by on and not like be thrown out of the house, you know, and not
these
lose
are,
the house.
These are the thoughts that you're like, I never know what you're going through right now.
Exactly. It's like, how could I
coast?
How could I coast and not actually go to work? And you know, like, it's not saying, you know, I am not in a position where I can live completely off my savings for the rest of my life. But, you know, if I found a nice shopping cart and a bush to live under, maybe I there could. You know, I don't know. And of course, like, job market sucks right now and is getting worse. Of course,
oh my God, it's horrible.
You know, so I mean, you know, so it's like
all I've been sharing is on the Slack are all these terrible like just job news and you know, and the administration has decided the same attitude they had during COVID is now the attitude they're having with the economy. Hey, you know, how do we solve the problem with the COVID cases? Stop testing. So, hey, how do we solve the problem with the economic numbers looking bad? Hey, let's stop publishing them.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, yeah. You know, so. It's like, well, what's the point of even looking, right? You know. So I don't know.
I think this is a terrible time. But it is. I think memory serves, and I had read certain articles that this is probably one of the worst. At the start of the summer, it's probably one of the worst times to be looking for a job.
Yeah.
I did get a job many years ago that I started in December, but pretty sure I remember correctly, the interview started like in September.
Hmm.
So this was like in 2009. So it wasn't like, at the, you know, but
well,
nobody,
when I started,
don't kick off.
When I started
now.
Yeah, I know. Like, wait, January is a better blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, when I started the job that I'm leaving now, I started in mid January. I'm pretty sure the interview process was in December for that position.
Oh, okay.
You know, I remember.
Well, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying statistically.
It's not a great time. Like, I mean, nobody's in that mindset.
Right.
But then,
I've
seen other. Yeah. I've seen other people talk about, like, well, that's when you jump in because nobody else is doing it. You know, but whatever.
I don't think that's. I mean, I'm talking about from the employer side, not the workers. If they need a job, they're going to be hunting.
Right.
You know, but from the other side, it's not the same thing. But anyway, there was this, you know, you're talking about money, but there is this article that I saw related to, and I think it's, you know, somebody pretty accurately decided, you know, we talk about the poverty line being $30,000 for a family of four, which is ridiculous. Nobody could live. I mean, you know, you can't live without public assistance. Okay. And those people at that money are getting a lot of public assistance. Okay. It's almost impossible to live, you know, at that amount of money at a family of four. Okay. You know, and they were making this calculation where, you know, what the hell should the real poverty line be? Okay.
Right. Okay. Yep.
And they went through the numbers, crunched the numbers for a family of four, and you know they think, and obviously this also goes back to the definition of what poverty is. Okay. All right. Which also people started arguing about this. Okay. That the real number should be something much closer to about $140,000 for a family of four, not 30 some odd thousand, 140,000 for a family of four. And by the way, this, you know, the thing is also defining what the heck poverty is. Okay. All right.
Right.
Because it doesn't mean that if you're making 120, you're starving. But what they're saying for a family of four is that on average, and by the way, this is not adjusted for inflation, depending on the different states as well, okay? Because this
right, cost of living is very different depending on location.
Right,
as well.
It could be, you know, it could be a lot less and more, but on the average of the United States, okay, for a family of four to live basically where you're paying child care, your car, your taxes, your health care, transportation, food, you know, and the numbers they picked aren't crazy numbers. It adds up to about $136,000 a year for a family of four. And this is going in like, you know, think about, you know, $23,000 for housing, which isn't that expensive a housing if you think about it. $1,000 a month on food,
also not crazy. $14,000 on transportation, which you think about four people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cars, insurance, $1,000, gas. I mean, that's not even that crazy a number if you think about it. Healthcare also another $1,000 a month when you add your insurance premiums and whatnot, blah, blah, blah. You know, that gets in there. You know, taxes. That family is paying between the 7% Social Security tax, Medicare, whatever, and, you know, other taxes or whatever. Close to $18,000 in taxes alone, okay? Uh-huh. So it starts getting to, you know, it really adds up real quick, okay? Now, some disputed the thing that they added $32,000 for child caring. But look, and that some people don't have that expense, I understand how they're saying that. That you know, and you can dispute the number, where it's 100,000, 110, 120, 130.
With child care, you either need someone staying home doing it who's not making an income, or you have to pay
or you're paying
a huge
through the
amount
nose
for
it. Yeah. And that's the thing, because that's a real
Or, or you're doing it illegally and paying somebody under the table at like some. But even that's not cheap.
Listen, if you think about it, if somebody from that family has to cut back their working in order to do that, it's costing you $30,000 a year. Doesn't matter how you slice it.
Right.
Okay. Whether you're paying it out to a child care provider. And I remember, daycare for people, it's $2,000 a month. You know, that's a real number. Yeah. If not more, it's a real number. So, you know, it's one of those things. So yeah, I mean, in America, really, saying that the poverty line for a family of four is $33,000, I mean, that may mean that they are living in, I mean, they're not, they're live, I mean, they're living a really, I mean, they're living a very anxious and stressful life at that number, okay? They're not eating well. They're probably skipping meals. They're not getting health care, maybe, depending if they're on Medicaid or not, depending on the state, because that's another thing with the gaps that we got in health care and whatnot. So those are the things that I'm thinking about. But the reality is that, yeah, I mean, I think that I would be, you know, if I didn't have to go back to work, I'm okay. I've said this before. I've had this before. I would be fine. Now, I will say, I don't have the same level of dread that you have about going back to work. I will say that my work environment is significantly better. Okay. By miles. Okay. I don't have the same issue with work that you've had for years. But what I'm saying is that I don't really, you know, there are these people you talk to, like, oh my God, they don't know what the hell to do themselves if they don't go to work. And I mean, I don't know if you met these people, but I have.
Yeah.
I mean, they're workaholics. They cannot live without work. Okay.
I'm like, screw that. I have so much. And the last month, of course, has showed it to me like perfectly. But like, I have no dearth of things that I will fill my time with if given the opportunity. And yeah, certainly some of it is relaxing. Some of it is watching TV. Some of it is unproductive stuff. Sure. But I also have
things I want to get done. What's to be productive all the fucking time, for God's sakes? Give me a break. Okay, come on, man.
I
have spent this last week because, part of my thing is that I had Manu didn't have school, and I did work a little bit of this week, but I had planned to try to work the least amount of time possible.
Right.
Okay. I did have to take care of a couple of things, but I we have unlimited PTO, and I was like, look, I did
do some work right after surgery. If you can't use unlimited PTO for recovering from surgery, what the fuck good is it?
Oh, no. And I took a number of days already. The one thing is that I plan on taking some time off now. So here's the one thing about my time. Look, my time, a lot of the times, it's not even dictated by my boss. Not that my boss is looking for me. It's that I attend customers. And, you know, I do sales. So the reality is, and there isn't really anybody that in some cases can answer, can take care of this stuff for the customer. It is what it is. This is one of the things about this type of job. So, you know, if I would tell people, look, if it was something, there was a couple of things that nobody else could take care of. I took care of it. Okay. But the others, I just punted, you know, I'm like, whatever, you know, I did not kill myself working, but this is the thing I'm telling you, this is the thing about taking a sales job. If you're in a sales job and you want to sell properly, one thing that's going to happen, it's not about your boss. You know, if a customer's trying to reach you and you're not there, they get upset. Simple as that. It's just like, right. If you go to a store, you're trying to find somebody to help you, right? And you can't find a person. You know, you don't like that. So that's the unfortunate side effect of the job. But I did rest a lot. I watched a lot of TV. Gosh, I spent a lot of time. Well, the other thing that happened was that I was thinking of taking Manu to go do something. But Manu got sick on Saturday, right as this week started. And he's been nursing a cold the whole week. It got better for Thanksgiving, substantially better on Wednesday. But he had been very stuffed, having a lot of hard time getting to sleep because he was congested. I thought I was going to take him out to do some stuff, but he was sick. And so I'm like, well, I guess we're just going to lounge around and play video games and not do much of anything and watch TV. Yeah. And, well, we did go see a movie.
Okay.
Last night because he felt better. He felt better. So we went to see Zootopia 2 is out.
Yes, I've heard that. Now, I don't know that I've seen the first one.
I don't know if I saw the first one either, actually.
I mean, I can bring to mind like clips, but I don't think it's from watching the movie. I think it's just from being around in a universe where Zootopia exists.
It may well very be possible. I'm on the same boat as you. I don't know if I saw the first, but I did see the second one, and so I'll add a movie review. Go quickly. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up for Zootopia 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good movie. Out in theaters.
Good.
Right
good
now.
For the whole family. Not
yeah,
just kids.
Yeah. Good for the whole family. Yeah. We my wife Manu and I, we all three went. We had a good time at the theater yesterday. Great packed.
We are probably going to go tomorrow. I have on my to-do list. Oh, that I was going to show you. So I have to do that in just a second. But we're probably going to go to a second Wicked movie tomorrow. So I have to buy the ticket.
I didn't watch the first Wicked movie.
We have talked before how like musicals aren't really your thing. They're not really my thing either. But I enjoyed the first one. Going to watch the second one. So, and we rewatched the first one on at home a few days ago.
I mentioned that I like musicals, like a musical, like a Broadway musical in person that I like, but not a movie musical so much.
Right. Okay. So
the first time I went to see a musical, probably the worst way to see a musical, I will say.
Okay. Yes.
Well, the reason I say it's the worst way is that, look, I this was like when we were in college, there was this one time that I went to London, okay, for spring break, okay, for a couple of days. Well, I went to Madrid, but then I flew to Madrid, but then my girlfriend at the time said, oh, wait, but we're all going to London. And I already bought the ticket to go to Madrid. My mom said, we're all going to London. I'm like, fuck, it's just Madrid. Then I got to, and I was like, I couldn't change the ticket so I could fly to London and then go to Madrid. I have to fly to Madrid first, fly to London. And this was like from Pittsburgh. So I had to fly from Pittsburgh to Newark, right? Pittsburgh to Newark, Newark to Madrid, then Madrid to London. And that same night that I got there, we went to, they had tickets to go to, of course, they lived in Madrid, so they're in the same time zone. I was not, okay? I had tickets to go see Cats. Okay, that night in the West End. And I'd never been to one thing you want to do is go to a theater in the West End to go see a show. Okay. Right. You know, whatever. So I got there. I had a hard time watching it, even though I liked it. It was Cats.
Cats is a little odd. Of musicals.
I liked it.
I have seen Cats.
I will say that it took a substantial amount of coffee that I consumed. for me to stay. I mean, it wasn't because the musical was bad. It's just that I had spent like 20 plus hours traveling. I'm jet lagged on my ass. And I'm like, all of a sudden, trying to watch Cats.
That might not be the best situation to see it in.
No, I can say like flat out. No, no. If you want to watch, my recommendation is if you go to London, you want to watch a show at a theater or West End, do not go the same day you arrive.
Okay.
That's my travel.
Okay, now Yvonne, I want to get your reactions to this thing live, because we've talked before about my various to-do list mechanisms.
Yes,
and
yes,
so
yes.
One of the things I've done in the last 2 weeks is take one of
Would
the
you
things
put like
I,
a randomizer or something.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Okay. Now I used to do this for a while. I did this on a spreadsheet, and then I'd move to a different method using dice. But like I revived this one because I sort of missed it. The basic premise behind this one, it's mostly for recurring tasks. Like things that you want to do on a regular basis. Like, you know, okay. I mentioned Juke Potter. Like I have that in there as like, I want to do something with that every 3 days. Okay. And so the basic premise is that you look at what percentage of the, like if you're supposed to do it every 3 days, then if it's been 3 days since you have done the thing, then it's sort of the baseline. Okay. And if it's been half that time, it's half the priority. So like if it's been 1.5 days, it's half the priority to do that thing than if it's the 3 days you said. And if you've let it go 6, it's double the priority. If you let it go 9, it's triple the priority. Okay. Et cetera. And, but these priorities don't represent just like the order on a list. They go in, each thing comes in with a score. And then when you're deciding what to do, you pick based on, like the higher the score something has, the greater a probability it has of coming up. So like the things near the top of the list have a greater priority of coming up when you pick a task than the lower. And I also have a mechanism to do a multiplier that says like, this is every 3 days, but it's 10 times more important than other stuff. So multiply its score by 10. It's 10 times more likely than it would be otherwise, right? So anyway, Here, I am sending you the URL to this. Look at it on your computer. I have not optimized it for mobile, so it doesn't fit right on a phone. But you can bring up the site. I've made it the site itself. I'm not giving the URL on the podcast, but I haven't put any protections against seeing it. I've made protections. You have to type in a PIN to change anything. So this is read only to you. Okay. So first of all, describe what you see here and tell the audience.
Well, I mean, I must say, Sam, you made it very graphically pleasing. Okay. Oh, all right.
Thank you.
So it's this Apple To-Do Priority Based Task Manager, and it's got the task. And I guess because of the scoring, right? It has this bar chart that shows where it is at the top of the list. Okay.
Right. Yep.
It says how many times, you know, when it should repeat. Okay. And it's got the multiplier and it shows you the last time that you had an action. What is the N?
How many times I've done it under this system.
Oh, so you've done it 18 times. Okay. So the thing is that, for example, at the first one that he's got here, move task from simple note to do. So that's apparently very function. So you put it on a to-do list.
I had my old to-do list. And so this is transferring stuff from my old to-do list onto this thing.
So that one he's done 18 times. It's like it's got a multiplier of 10. The next one that's on here, apparently, that is critical, it's got a multiplier, but he has not done at all. It's buy movie tickets.
Yeah, it's the movie tickets for tomorrow. Right. You'll notice like there's a repeat column. The first one I have on there, do every 6 hours, move one of those items. And I've done the 18 of them and it's got a 10x multiplier. But the last time I did it was 2 days, 8 hours ago. 2 days.
You've helped Alex video, which you haven't helped them in 6 months. And you've done once. It's online, the pizzeria. The laundry round. Oh, yes. This one isn't that bad. You've done twice. Okay. This one you did about a week and 3 days ago. That's not terrible. Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Although I would say, considering that you don't actually have a job, that's actually miserable.
Well, and my target is to do this every 12 hours, twice a day. Because, like, I have calculated that in order to keep up with the volume of laundry, I have to do it twice a day. Hours,
and you've only done it twice. Oh, my God. Okay. Snow laps.
And look, you have neglected to mention on the left of this, with the scoring for each one of these, like the move task from the
ranked.
Simple.
They're ranked, you know, like 1, 2, 3. So I'm moving down the ranked list.
You're going down the ranked list, but the important part is like that move things from my old to-do list has a 15% chance of coming up if I pick a task. The buy movie tickets has an 11.9% chance. Help Alex video has a 3.85%.
Oh, I see.
So okay. now hit the pick a task button, Yvonne. Oh, turn up your volume. Turn up your volume because the sound is kind of flaky, but there are sound effects here.
Okay, let me see. Hold on. Wait. Where's my volume knob? Okay, here.
I just heard the blit twiddle.
Oh, you could. Yeah. The thing is, the sound is coming through my headphones, unfortunately. Hang on. I could do something. Let me see. All right, I'll do this again. Did that come through?
No.
It does this little cool sound effect, and then it randomly picks it, and it picked the task, on this instance, down at number 114, which had a 0.107% chance, which is Feed and Water Mike, which
that's
was
our,
done
that's
4 days
lizard.
Ago. Okay, well, that's not bad. You did do it 4 days ago.
Well, and it's got a once a week target. And so what happens is when you complete a task, because the priority is based on how long it's been, it drops all the way to the bottom of the list and then slowly works its way back up.
Sam, can I just say something? This is actually pretty cool. I will tell you this. I don't understand why the hell putting this in an app and putting it on the App Store, to be honest with you, if you can make a mobile.
Listen. This is one of my projects that I did.
Is a nation of procrastinators. Let's be clear about this, okay? You know, this is reality. There are, you know, so if you went and you put this, you know, we got to come up with a name, okay?
Yes. Think Apple to do is the name?
Not going to help, okay? All right, not going to help. But if we can come up with a name, but put this on the App Store, this might.
Well, you know, like you said, when you pick a task, there's a little sound effect, there's an animation.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's addictive. Like I have sat here.
Yes.
Just hitting the pick a task button over and over and over again.
I must admit, I did get quite a enjoyable. It was quite enjoyable to do so.
Since you couldn't hear it, I will insert later. What the sound effect sounds like at this point. Anyway, I'll add that. But yeah, no, look, this is the kind of thing, like, as I'm going through things, I'm like, I built this for myself, but I'm like, okay, how could I repackage this? How could I make some money off this? Could I
gotta be honest with you, yeah. Other than just making it mobile and getting a nicer name, this is actually pretty cool. This is really damn cool. I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of people out there who probably would enjoy using this. Not me, but a lot of people, though.
Yes. If anybody listening wants to see this thing, I'm not going to give the URL on the podcast, but if you ping me individually, I'll share it. So you can like play with it and see, like hear the little sound. The sound is erratic, though. I found like if I use it over and over again, like sometimes it doesn't come out properly. So that I've got on my list, debug why the sound doesn't always work. You know, things like that. And you'll notice I've got little like statistical things, like there's a line at the 1 sigma, 2 sigma, 3 sigma of like how often the things come up and the percentages, you know, and it's color coded by how late the thing is. Because, of course, the default is, like, everything's late. Everything's less frequent than I'd like it to be. The ones with the green bars, Yvonne, are the ones that aren't yet late, and you have to get down to 131 on the list to find the first one that's not late.
Yeah, the green. Yeah, it's all the top 20, all the top 23 here. It's like, they're all, like, in you know,
Well, when I first transferred my previous method into here and I did an import from another tool I was using on my phone, like the top category, the color would be black. And those were the ones that were more than 100 times past their deadline. I did clear out all of those. And I had like a couple dozen of those. And I cleared them all out. I took care of those. And now we're in the blue is the next most latest category. The one I have some purple ones at the top, which are less late than blue, but they're at the top because they've got a multiplier on them for the importance. Right. So
wait, you haven't showered in a week?
It's been a week.
What?
Now, I'm not sure it has really been that. Like, there are other ones on here that sometimes those are accurate. Sometimes the one, when I do something, when it's not, that's on the list, but like, for instance, I have on here, feed Sam, like to remember to eat. Okay. But very often I eat.
You forget to have.
If I eat because I rolled eat. I will remember to put this. But if I eat on my own,
you don't mark it as complete.
Well, no, I try to remember to, but I often forget. If I have done a thing on my own, as opposed to because I rolled it on this list, I'm sporadic as to whether I remember to hit the button on here.
Got it.
You know, okay. I would not be surprised if the shower thing is accurate, but you know. But I'm starting to feel icky. I might take care of that later today. You know, there's a there's a 1% chance it'll come up when I roll for shower. So, you know,
I edit
this. And by the way, this is keeping stats behind the scenes. I haven't built the graphs yet, but it's keeping stats on how many tasks I do every day and things like that, and what the scores were and all kinds of stuff like that. So I can build graphs of my productivity and things like that.
Well, of course, I was going to increase the priority like by 40.
Oh, but you hit the pin number.
Like you say, I don't have the pin number. So,
well, this is, you know, my son, of course, very first thing, like I told him was like, don't mess with this. I know you're going to.
You started fucking with
course, it. Because, of course, several times, you know, he within like an hour or two of me setting this up the first time, he'd figured out my code. And started to add things to this list for me. I'm like, don't do that. And like, I changed the code, and then he knows the new code. He does things like, you know, start screen recording on my device.
What does he have a key log? He's key logging you? What the fuck?
One time when I was working at my desk, he placed his phone on top of my microphone, pointed at the keyboard, and recorded me putting in the PIN number, and I didn't notice it was there.
He's like Mike Johnson's. He's like Mike Johnson and his kid, for God's sakes. The hell?
Another time, he borrowed my phone for a second, started screen recording on the phone so that he could capture it as I typed it in that way. You know, he knows all the passwords. He can be stealthy. Yeah, and so, you know, there's nothing, you know, anyway, but I've told him that if I catch him changing stuff to the list, because I know he's got the passwords, that he loses like some privileges and attention from me for like 24 hours. So,
that's discouraged him from making change.
Anyway, it's fun. And this is the kind of thing, like, you know, I've been able to do something like this, and yes, AI assistance helps because I can take the idea and like describe what I want and it'll help me actually build it. And like, I can iterate on the idea without thinking too much about the mechanisms of how to do it. And I can build a little thing, and yes. And of course, yeah, every single thing I do, I'm like, is there a way to monetize this? Can I monetize this? Can I make this, whatever, you know? So yes, of course. And I've got like a big to-do list of like additional enhancements and things I want to change and do. And like it wouldn't be hard for me at this point, like to like set up an account mechanism and set up a URL and be like, okay, Yvonne, you think this is cool? Here you go. Set up an account. You can have your own blank one. Give me $5 a month. Thank you very much. You know,
I think we're going to have to put some ads on it.
Well, like I said, I added monetization.
Or,
to pod,
no ads to or ad free, and you pay for ad free.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, since I've spent so much time on this, should I still do a movie or is it too late?
Do one. Do one.
Okay, where did I put the stupid thing? Okay, the next movie on the list is, making sure I pick the right one, Blade from 1998.
1988 Blade?
1998.
I don't even know what the fuck, I don't remember this movie.
It's Wesley Snipes. Like Swiper, no Swipey or whatever from Dora.
Yeah. I like how it sounds. It's Wesley Swipes.
Anyway, yes, this is.
Oh, this is from like that. Yeah, now he had that Blade trilogy, which the movies made money, but I think also these are the movies that got him into his tax troubles as well.
Oh, okay, yeah, I didn't remember that, but it's ringing a little bit of a bell when you say it.
Yeah, well, you know, he went to jail for not paying. You know, he found this brilliant genius tax guy that went and told him that he didn't owe federal tax, and then he started trying to claim that he tried to claim massive tax refunds, and then he shit said returns. He was basically claiming to be a sovereign citizen or something for a while.
Oh, nice.
And
that always works out well for people.
The IRS did not take too kindly on that, and he wound up broken in jail.
Excellent. Good job on him, I guess. Anyway, yes, Blade is a Marvel thing. It came from a Marvel comic, but it's not in the MCU. It's not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it is Marvel. And this is the first of, like you said, there's a trilogy. Basically, he's a vampire, but he's a good vampire that fights bad vampires. You know, that's...
I'm surprised. My wife has been all into these vampire shows and things. Surprised my wife hasn't watched this.
So
I don't think she has.
Here's the beginning of the plot summary from Wikipedia. In 1967, a pregnant woman is attacked by a vampire, causing her to go into premature labor. Doctors are able to save the baby, but the woman dies. 30 years later, the child has become the vampire hunter Blade, who is known as the Daywalker, a human vampire hybrid that possesses the supernatural abilities of the vampires without any of their weaknesses, except for the requirement to consume human blood. Blade raids a rave club owned by the vampire Deacon Frost. Police take one of the vampires to the hospital, where he kills Dr. Curtis Webb and feeds on hematologist Karen Jensen and escapes. Blade takes Karen to a safe house, where she is treated by his old friend Abraham Whistler. Whistler explains that he and Blade have been waging a secret war against vampires, using weapons based on their elemental weaknesses, such as sunlight, silver, and garlic. As Karen is now marked by the bite of a vampire, both he and Blade tell her to leave the city. ... Plot continues. There are lots of fights. Like, there's... I'll tell you. I'm going to give it a thumbs down. I know some people like this kind of movie, but this is one of the ones that's like... It's high. It's basically fight scene after fight scene after fight scene. Lots of violence, fight scenes as well. There's lots of sort of gross out, maybe a little bit of an exaggeration, but it's the type of movie that if you are into, I just want to watch the fights. I don't really care that much about the plot. I don't care that much about the characters. I just want to see them go from one fight tableau to another fight tableau to another fight tableau, and then the good guy wins and it's the end of the movie. Okay. Oh, sorry, spoilers. No. You know, that's roughly the kind of thing. That is not the kind of movie I really enjoy. So thumbs down from me. Some people love that kind of thing. And if so, maybe you'll like this. I don't know. But, you know, I I'm not saying there was no plot and no characters, but it was very clearly not the priority of the movie, you know, and so it was what it was.
So yeah, these movies made a lot of money, which is a crazy thing, as far as I can tell.
I mean,
they made three of them.
Yep. Let's see. Box office. It dislodged Saving Private Ryan from the box office when it first came out.
Wow. Think about that.
Let's see. What do they have totals here? Finished the run with $70 million domestically, $61 million worldwide for a total of $131 million. But this was back in '98.
So,
you know,
so this is like a $300 million film now. Yeah. A little over $300 million.
Apparently, though,
what was the budget? What was the production budget? Usually they put there how much did it cost to make.
You know, you're asking me stuff, and let's see, $45 million budget.
So, I guess 45 million to 160. I guess so that's four times. So that's what they expect. Okay, fair. It made money, but yeah, I thought it was maybe bigger than that, given that they made three of them.
Right. Oh, and what's interesting here is this is one of those, like, this is pre-MCU, this is pre-rebirth of Marvel, blah, blah, blah. Marvel Comics was paid $25,000 for the rights to the character for the movie.
I'm sure they were
flat fee, no percentage.
By the way, there is a reason why Marvel back then was doing horribly financially.
They didn't know how to make deals like this?
No, they did not, no.
Anyway, critical response, Rotten Tomatoes gives it 59% rating of 6 out of 10. So the site's critic consensus says, though some may find the plot a bit lacking, Blade's action is fierce, plentiful, and appropriately stylish for a comic book adaptation. There you go.
Okay. Well, there you go, Sam. They basically said, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, they said exactly what they said. Light on plot, lots of action. That's pretty much what I said.
I'm kidding.
Sure you are. Yeah, whatever. Well, this is how I'll make my living, Yvonne. I'm just going to be a full-time movie reviewer.
You're going to be Roger Ebert?
I'm going to be Roger Ebert. I will go and, you know, people will pay me to say thumbs up, thumbs down. You know?
That's another money-making. There you go.
Okay,
just keep coming up with all these money-making schemes.
Yeah, exactly. It's I mean, and surely any day now I'll win the lottery. I mean, I'd have to buy a ticket, but.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure if I did, I would instantly win. That's how it works, right?
It does work very easily, yes. You just have to buy one ticket. One number only.
Exactly. Okay, let's go ahead and take that break, and then we'll come back with newsy stuff. Now, I'll tell you.
Not
Olivia Newsy. There was more stuff related to
Jesus
that.
Jesus Christ. Was there more stuff? My God.
There was. I it was one of those things where I saw that there was more stuff, but I did not have any desire to find out what that additional stuff was. So I pretty much ignored it.
It was bad. It was really bad. We didn't even put it on the topic list, but Sam. Holy shit, it was bad.
Since you mentioned it, do you want to give like a 1-minute summary? What's going on here?
After we come back.
Okay. Yeah. I will mention that the first break should have been a new wiki of the day break, but I was running late to get ready, so I didn't prepare that. So I'm saving that till next time. So there will be a new wiki of the day one next time. But in the meantime, here is a different one. Here you go.
AlexMZWeb.com. Bang Alex and Dad. Gaming videos and more from Alex. Elementary school by day. YouTube by night. AlexMZWeb.com. about Zemzela is A-L-E-X-M-X-E-L-A, and .com is period and then C-O-M.
Okay, we're back. So, Nuzzy.
Okay, the Nuzzy story that I saw come out this week was that Nuzzy went and had tried to help RFK Jr. kill the bear story. That, you know, that he took a dead bear and put it in Central Park.
Okay, yes.
That she had actually worked with them and plotted with them to figure out how to kill the story.
Oh, excellent.
So much for her being such a journalist.
Is that all? I heard there were more affairs with more people, and
I'm saying that was the last one. The other one, she had been banging Mark Sanford. Okay, right. So that
there's,
one, I don't know if we talked
Florida
about that.
Florida politician, am I remembering right?
I didn't see the Florida
South Carolina?
One.
Where was he?
Mark Sanford, South Carolina. He was the governor of South Carolina. He was the guy that went on the Appalachian Trail.
Right. Was it her that she was going to on the Appalachian Trail with?
No, she was going. No, that was in Argentina. He flew to Argentina. He had this girlfriend in Argentina. Okay, that it was his side chick back then. That I think ended at some point. Okay, he got divorced, and then when he was running for president in 2020. Olivia Nuzzi, while covering him, had like chased after him, and fuck.
Okay.
All right.
Well, how can you properly do a story on somebody who's running for president if you have not had sex on them, Yvonne?
Well, apparently that's one thing that soured her on Biden, because it seems like she thought that Biden was what, you know, Biden.
He wouldn't have sex with her?
Based on some stuff, it seems kind of like that was the vibe I got from some of the coverage.
Okay. Interesting.
So, you know, there you go. Makes me up my respect for Joe Biden, which is already high, even way higher.
I'm left speechless. I don't know. Yeah.
There was a story where she was writing and waxing poetic about Trump's energy and virility.
Okay.
And then at the same time, shitting on Biden. What, based on the track record we are seeing right now, what the fuck can I surmise?
What do you want
me to tell you?
I don't know. And of course, this flurry of publicity is because, of course, she's just put out a new book where she's talked about a bunch of this stuff.
Her ex is bringing up more
stuff that she has not brought up herself.
Correct. And I know he posted something. Actually, he's the one that shared the story about her working with RFK Jr. to try to bury the Cub story.
Okay.
And this whole thing goes back. And you know, she's employed right now as a fucking reporter still somewhere. And I'm just like, how the fuck? You know, I say that, and I realize that a network like Fox News has people like Gutfeld and Jesse Waters, and, you know, well, Megyn Kelly still has a job somehow. And so, yeah, I guess, you know.
Okay, so
this is, by the way, I think being covered by a lot of people from the sensibility of what we thought reporters should be, right?
Yes.
There's some of us, you know.
Some of us oldsters have this idealized vision of like
reporters. You know,
yes. Of like the folks who are after the truth and impartial and this and that, and impartial in a truth-seeking way, not impartial in a both sides sort of way, you know. Etc.
Right.
Okay. Nuzzy was not going to be your main topic, was it? What were you really going to talk about this second?
No. Well, fuck. I already. Jeez, Christ. Well, I already picked something. Even or short. You go.
You can keep talking about. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to say you wanted to talk about Nuzzy for another 20 minutes.
No, I mean, what? 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 I.
look, I don't want to talk about Nuzzy, but I can tell you, know, I shared a clip on Slack today. You talk about people and this entire, I mean, reality that we live right now. I was going to say an issue. It's not, it's not, an issue would be maybe something that we can find a solution for. The reality, this is our reality right now, where you get an asshole like Tucker Carlson going and basically, I mean, that Piers Morgan in an interview comes out as the voice of reason on the Nazi regime, where Tucker is questioning that, oh, you guys just chose to go to war against the Germans because Hitler wasn't planning on invading Great Britain, even though it's well documented that he would planned on it.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to. Oh, because you just could have made a deal. I'm like, a deal? The Russians made a deal with him. Like, what? Like, he didn't go and say, fuck you on your deal? By the way, Neville Chamberlain made a number of deals with him, and he also...
And he's remembered fondly by history because of it.
Exactly, because he was a naive idiot that went, and like, it was Churchill that decided to draw a line in the sand and say, fuck this shit, and Tucker Carlson is doing all this entire revisionist history on his show that Piers Morgan had to repeatedly correct him on, like, you know, Hitler wanted to invade Great Britain. I mean, oh, you chose to go to war against him. I mean, does he forget the Blitz? Anybody remember the Blitz?
Well, very few.
Apparently not Tucker Carlson. No, very few, obviously. Well, yeah, this is a big problem that we've got right now, just as
an aside, because we always do asides. One of the things that I've heard people mention just on the cyclicality of history is often simply because the terrible events of the past, that right after they happen, everybody's like, we're never going to let this happen again. We're going to, you know, we're going to restructure how we do things specifically to avoid this bad thing happening.
Yeah.
What always happens is a certain number of years later, let's say 60 to 80 years later.
Forget about the whole thing.
The people who actually remember it, like with their own live memories, as opposed to reading about it in a book or hearing about it from their parents, die off, and the people who no longer remember it are now in charge and immediately make the exact same mistakes that people made 80 years previously.
Yes.
And
yes.
Guess where we are right now?
I'm just, you know. But you know that the bigger problem is, right, that in Tucker Carlson's case.
Yes. Okay. We're talking about Tucker. I forgot. Go ahead.
Is that he's a grifter.
Yes.
So you don't really know what the fuck he really believes. I do believe that he is a racist.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that part, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
He keeps talking about how diversity to him is awful. Who wants to live in a diverse place? Who wants this, you know, who, I want to be in a place where everybody around me is white.
Yes. Yep.
And well, how it's was so it, bad was it, to live with people.
Was it him
different.
Or was it somebody in administration this week? It might have been Miller or somebody. It's completely unsurprising. You know, talking about how certain populations are fundamentally unassimilizable and so therefore should not be let in simply because of that, et cetera. Because
sounds like something either of them would say.
Because the whole notion is, you know, you don't want to let people in who are going to change the culture in any way, you know, because you want to retain that purity. And, like you were saying, whereas, of course, like folks like us are like, no, that's the strength. Of course you want to change the culture. You want to have a melding where you get the best of all the cultures together and you learn from them and they learn from you, and together you have something better that was better than what either of you had before or whatever, you know?
You know one phrase that we used to hear frequently. Yeah. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Have we said that all the time? And now it seems that people like avoid saying it like it's a bad thing.
Well, and honestly, there are multiple criticisms of the melting pot. One is from folks like Tucker Carlson and Miller, who are like, we don't want our culture tainted by the other culture through this melting pot process. But then there's also folks who are like, well, you don't want people to give up their identities either. You don't want people to be lost in assimilation and not, you know, they come from country
X. The melting pot is not assimilation, okay? Because assimilation is like the Borg, okay? All right. I mean, it's all I think about. Okay.
Well, people have said there's another model that's more like a plum pudding or something, where you know it's all mixed together, but still everything retains its additional identity. I think the actual, like from my point of view, the ideal is something where you do mix everything together and you come up with a hybrid that is better than any of the ingredients.
Exactly. You wind
up with something that is. I can understand, however, how if you are in sort of a marginalized culture where retaining stuff from that culture becomes more important to you.
Look, I'm Puerto Rican. Okay. Well, you know, I live in the society where I speak a language that is not the native language of my island, but I speak it better than my native language. That's a reality. Maybe not that much better, but my language skills in English are, because I use it more, the main reason, definitely better than my Spanish ones, even though my Spanish ones are still pretty good.
But you're not saying you're illiterate in Spanish.
not even close. I mean, I write, I do business in Spanish. But what I'm saying is that the reality is that my English, because of various reasons, is better. Okay, and so, but I still use my Spanish every day. I cook with seasonings that we use back home every day, but I'll cook a steak using them. For example, you know, and I think that many of us from Puerto Rico do a job of enjoying a lot of the things that our culture has, like its music, like its family activities, like the food and so forth, while living in the United States fully integrated into what society has been for many decades. And it's one thing I know that Cubans, for example, that moved to Miami back when exiled from Fidel, because of the racism that persisted back then, many of that generation of Cubans that got brought up in Miami were dissuaded from learning Spanish. That you've got a generation of Cubans that many of them cannot speak Spanish very well. Or don't speak it at all. And it was their fear of them being marginalized in society. Okay. The parents were worried about it because they were being marginalized. And so they had, in many ways, pushed away some of that culture. I think that changed. I don't think that changed later. Okay. With the later generations, but that was a reality. I think my nieces and nephews, their Spanish is not as good as ours that were brought up in Puerto Rico, but they still speak it and they still like a lot of the things about our culture and do it. But in the end, what they have as a culture, it's not an assimilation. It's not what we had as something completely different. And I think that's perfectly fine. Sometimes we want to preserve everything like it's a museum, where culture is an ever evolving thing, you know?
Well, this is actually one of the core things that folks like Stephen Miller just can't accept. They do want to freeze it in time. They believe like these things were right and good and the way things should be, and they should be like that forever. As opposed right. to, yeah, no, like, I don't expect that my values are the same as my grandparents, and I don't expect that if I have grandkids that their values will be the same as mine. Things evolve, things change, and that's not a bad thing, you know?
Yeah. And but these people, the whole make America great again, right?
Yeah.
So turn back the clock to, I don't know.
Well, at first people were always thinking that Trump meant the 1950s. He's later pretty much made it clear that he's really thinking 1890s. That's where he'd like to go back to.
The robber barons. The,
exactly.
The, yeah, that was the big economic oligarchy in America. The basically the, you know, the great segregation. Women had no rights. I can't remember who the heck it was. It was they were trying to pull. No president would have ever done something, and I can't remember the exact thing that Trump. That was the appalling, like, you know. And somebody, well, Andrew Jackson would have done it. And I'm like, look, the fact that you have to go back to a president so far back that at that time there's something related to women that not even, you know. You have to pull for a time the women couldn't even own property legally, for God's sakes, and blacks were slaves. That shows you how retrograde that thought is.
Right.
If you have to go back that far, then something's fucked up about it. And yeah, he wants to go back to a time where women didn't vote.
Yeah,
a time. You know,
well, and Donald Trump hasn't specifically said that one, but certain folks on the
certain
sort of
MAGA,
yeah. Okay.
But anyway, we're talking about the reality of the current journalist, you know, profession.
Yeah.
And what the opinions in general people are. Our opinions on journalism are seen as quaint.
Yes. Well, and even I would say, like, I don't think the sort of idealized Edward R. Murrow, Walter Cronkite thing is necessarily exactly the right model to go back to either. I'd mentioned truth seekers rather than both sides. I think there's a big problem with the sort of both sides view of journalism these days. I think I think trying to pretend journalists don't have an opinion isn't necessarily helpful, but
yeah,
I think...
you got to separate two things.
You got to separate...
One is I have an opinion. It's like you being a scientist, right?
You got to separate the advocacy from fact-finding.
Exactly. It's the same as doing a scientific experiment. You could think that something is going to happen with a science experiment, but when you're doing the experiment, and if the testing shows you something different, you have to go and accept, oh, shit, I thought this was going to happen, but that's not what happened.
But at the same time, like, I keep, there was a quote, and I don't know who said it, it's gone around many times since then, of, like, it's comparing news people to weather people, you know, where if you don't report, like, hey, this one guy says it's going to be sunny, and this one guy says it's going to be rain. If you are a good reporter, you go outside and check yourself, and you report what you see. Is it raining? Is it not raining? You know, like, it's not everything. There are things that are sort of purely matters of opinion and blah, blah, blah. And then, okay, you can present, like, this person thinks this and this person thinks that and blah, blah, blah. But there are many, many things where the objective truth is actually knowable. And in that case, it is the responsibility of a good journalist to seek out that truth and report on it and not just report on what the other people are saying about each other. You know, and I think that there's this hesitancy to do that in a lot of places. Also, I think that the fact that at this point, there's a huge concentration of media ownership in large corporations makes it more difficult as well, because there's not a lot of separation.
Sam,
I mean, that was true.
I'm sorry, but in history, that's been the case. Large media. I mean, actually, wait, forget about large media. In the past, that's the only media that existed.
No, but there's a couple differences, I think, that are it's not just that it's corporate ownership. It's what are the incentives of the corporate ownership right now, right?
But, like,
like,
Sam,
we had Edward, we had Hearst and all of those folks. Like, they had a clear agenda and they were pushing it and they were actually, and they were transparent about it. They were using the media that they owned.
Is Rupert Murdoch not transparent about what he's trying to push?
Oh,
I'm not even
talking about Fox. I'm talking the issue I feel like with like the Comcasts of the world and folks like that that own stuff is that they are relatively risk averse in some of these areas where they do own, you know, of course MSNBC
Sam just got sold. That's always been the case. Look, I still remember there's this movie about this guy, that whistleblower on the tobacco industry, Jeffrey Wigand. What the fuck was the name? I don't know if you've seen that movie. It's a great movie, by the way.
God, I'm not saying any of this is new.
Hang on. Let me bring up the name of the movie because The Insider.
Okay, I'll just mention as I was going to Wikipedia to look up the book to take a screenshot to add it to my list. What was already on my Wikipedia app on my phone was Bozo Goes to College.
Oh, excellent. Great. You mean Bonzo, not
Bozo. Bonzo Goes to College.
I mean,
It's the sequel to Bedtime for Bonzo, which of course starred Ronald Reagan.
It's Ronald Reagan.
So I add both these to my list and then look up The Insider. Go ahead.
Okay. Did you ever watch that movie?
It's not ringing a bell. I'm bringing it up right now.
Okay. You need to watch that movie.
I don't think so.
And it was based on a true story related to the whistleblowing, related to the big tobacco and them hiding up the fact that they knew that nicotine was addictive, that there was a lot of scientific research and that they were actually manipulating the nicotine content in cigarettes in order to increase addiction. And how this guy that was a chief scientist for, it was Philip Morris.
Yeah.
Okay.
The story all sounds familiar.
It wanted to blow the whistle because there was a testimony. Well, it's a story because there was articles in several newspapers regarding this. He worked for Brown and Williamson Tobacco. How he saw the tobacco executives go and testify in Congress saying that they said that they didn't know nicotine was addictive. Right. And they said it over and over. When, by the way, internally, they discussed that tobacco was a nicotine delivery device. Okay? And that they knew that directly. Okay? And one of the things was that this is a story that's supposed to go out in 60 Minutes. And there was a big blow up at 60 Minutes because CBS was in the process of being sold. And CBS corporate went and killed the story, okay, because they said that Brown and Williamson came and threatened to sue them and they could sue them out of existence and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, as the story was about to go on air, they tried to force the producer to change the story near the last minute. Lowell Bergman was the producer, like well known about this. He refused. Then they aired a story which didn't have all the explosive testimony. Then Lowell Bergman leaked most of the stuff. I think it was to the Wall Street Journal, or I can't remember who it was. And then the story came out and then all blew up. And then 60 Minutes had to actually publish the story. And by the way, this is what led to the... Remember the massive tobacco settlement that we got back then?
Yeah, I remember.
That changed advertising, that changed everything. This is the igniter of that, okay? So if you haven't watched this movie, which I know fictionalizes some parts of it, and there's some arguing by some people around nowadays about it, but it was very close to what the fuck happened, okay? All right, in the story. But this was the 90s. CBS executives were telling 60 Minutes exactly to kill a story, to fucking edit it because of corporate interests that had to do with money. Just the same shit as when CBS was being sold now. And this is the thing that when people go and they tell me, oh my God, look what's happening to CBS, like this never happened before. I'm like, guys, are you out of your fucking
just to be clear, I am not saying happened. Any of this is but new. Wait, I am saying
Sam, it literally happened the last time they yes. were being sold almost verbatim. And people have such short fucking memories that yeah. they forget.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
no, all I'm saying is I think the incentive structure in not just big corporate, but any for-profit media just doesn't necessarily always align with truth. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, you know?
Here's my one thing. Money and big media has always been an issue. It's always been plus, always slanted coverage in a certain way, one way or another. That's yeah, just yeah. been a reality. However,
agreed.
I do say that we are in the era, and we have an issue. You know, the thing is that you could look at this from a, we're better or worse off in a certain way with this, okay? Because back then, you couldn't do independent media the way it's being done now that is right. as pervasive and is heard by as many people as it is right now. However, the problem is that there is so much also independent media, and so many of them are peddling lies.
Right.
That,
well, I mean, this gets us to the whole information bubble thing.
Whatever the hell corporate media had as a defect, compared to this environment where I got a Tucker Carlson out there basically just saying, oh, no, UK, you got into a war because you wanted to.
Well, right. I mean, this goes into the whole, there's so much media, so available in so different ways, and the barrier to entry is so low. I mean, how we've been doing a podcast for nearly 20 years.
Exactly, right.
You know, that people select what they listen to and what viewpoints they want to hear, as opposed to having sort of that universal
in front of the TV and watching Dan Rather.
Yeah. Where, or Walter Cronkite or Edward R. Murrow before them, you know, where basically one of the things that people sort of say made democracy a little bit healthier was the fact that there was this shared reality. Like everybody watched the evening news on the three big networks, and there wasn't a huge difference. You didn't have a different view of reality if you watched ABC instead of CBS. You know,
there may have been some nuance different. Maybe they got some extra details, some other stuff or whatever. But the reality is that the facts were aligned 99%.
Whereas right now, if you are a 100% Fox News viewer, you will have a very different view of what is happening in the world than if you were a 100% MSNBC viewer. Or let alone,
well, as I mentioned this week, I switched TV providers for
right, okay,
yeah. for home, and I had I've been having the DirecTV for Business channel thing up a while now, and I realized that I'm looking at what CNBC and Bloomberg are covering versus what the fuck Fox Business is covering, which is like some alternate planet. Okay. All right. There was like big story shit happening, important, like the other week, like right now on the business side. I can't remember which one. CNBC and Bloomberg are all over it. Bloomberg, Fox is socialism. It's the social. They have this chiron about the socialism threat in New York and how they're going to destroy this, how he's destroying the city.
Right.
The story that was happening was like it didn't exist. And I think it was related to some bad economic data, some other, you know, something relevant that was just not aligned with the GOP agenda.
Yeah. I often, not as often as I used to, like my consumption of live TV news in any way has, of course, like everybody else, has gone down considerably since the election. But like, I'll still like, I'll put up the 4UP news thing on my thing, and usually put it on mute and just have it on, like, you know,
yeah,
wherever.
Yeah. So do I. It's all on mute. Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, like the chiron on Fox earlier, like last night sometime, was some guy, I don't even know which show it was, but it was like, you know, Democrats have wine for Thanksgiving, WHINE. you know, was the Chiron as the thing that they were talking about, where I guess, you know, Democrats are complaining about whatever, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they had their three hosts laughing and talking about that and for like 5 minutes or whatever. Yeah, yes, it's a completely different universe depending on which of the, what your news sources were. And I was about to say, and that's even talking about TV, which honestly is old people at this point.
Yeah, this is old people shit. Yeah.
You start talking about the Manosphere podcasts and, you know, the YouTube channels people are watching and
Bro TV
and the various like discussion groups where people hang out, even if you're not like talking about the, you know, whatever that one was with the Rhode, you know, was it Rhode Island or Connecticut where all those Republicans were caught talking about like how they love Nazis and all the other stuff a couple months ago. Anyway, even if you're not.
Wasn't that the chat of the youth people or is that?
The young Republicans. Even if you're not talking that, you know, you're talking, you know, Reddit groups and whatever, you know, like it is much more, you know, you are finding out people who agree with you and you are seeking out and people have talked endlessly about information bubbles. And look, I'm in one too. I work to pierce it a little bit by like making sure I have that four up and I see what Fox is talking about. You know, now, do I take it seriously? Could I stand watching more than a few minutes of Fox in a row with this volume up? No.
Oh my God. Listen, man, it's torture. I mean, it hasn't changed from the formula is what I said. It's the old Rush Limbaugh formula. I mean, he really patented it. Where they just go and just all facts are just ignored. We just twist and talk. You know, about, you know, bullshit. But now you add a big dose of misogyny and just absolutely just racism to it as well. It's right. Really fucked up.
Okay, let's take another break. You tried to switch topics and have me pick one like half an hour ago or something. And yeah, we just ended up continuing I didn't do anything. So let's take a break and then I will pick a topic for the remainder of the show. And we will be back after this.
No, it's not the beginning of the show again. We're just taking a little time to credit the artist responsible for the music we use at the beginning and end of the show. What you are listening to right now is The O of Pleasure by Ray Lynch. The music we close our show with is Celestial Soda Pop. Both of these songs are from Deep Breakfast. Now platinum, Deep Breakfast was the first independently released album ever to be certified gold by the RIAA. Ray Lynch's other albums are The Sky of Mind, No Blue Thing, Nothing Above My Shoulders But the Evening, and The Best of Ray Lynch. You can check out Ray Lynch or buy his music at raylynch.com, iTunes, Amazon, or anywhere you usually find music.
And we are back. Okay, so, topic.
Topic.
I think of the things this week, the one that we'd be most remiss in not talking about is the controversy over giving illegal orders to the military. And
you're going to that? Oh, fuck. I thought.
What did you want? What did you want?
No. I was like trying to look at, I was trying to guess.
You were trying to guess. About. What did you guess I was going to
My guess was, are you going to talk about Comey and James dismissal? But okay.
Yeah, no. I think that's old news at this point. It's old
okay,
news.
Okay. All right. So the illegal orders. Okay. All right.
No,
so
and specifically what came up this week started.
By the way, the criminal orders. Let's be clear about this. This is like, these are criminal acts.
Yes. Well,
by the Secretary of Defense.
Yeah. Well, I was going to get to that towards the end, but before that, earlier in the week, a group of, like, I believe it was five senators. The only one I remember off the top of my head is Mark Kelly was one of them, put out a video basically saying, hey, if you're in our armed forces, remember, it is part of your oath that you need to refuse an illegal order.
That's right.
You not only have the right, well, I think they just mentioned you have the right to reject an illegal order, but in fact, it's actually considered your responsibility to refuse an illegal order. It's part of the oath that the law is more important than your orders. It's part of the Uniform Code of Military Justice says this as well. People pointed out, like, there's a plaque at West Point that specifically calls out your duty in this realm. And of course, you know, the administration responded very negatively to this. Now, you'd think, like, the right response in a normal administration would be to come out and say, absolutely right. And nobody ever has to worry about this with us because we would never issue an illegal order. But absolutely, it is the responsibility of every member of the military to reject illegal orders. Oh, and we will never do that. That is not what they did. Instead, they were going after and saying, like, anybody
they
who's
didn't.
Even...
They didn't. They didn't. No. They didn't just say, hey, we are rule of law. We are right there with you.
No. They instead are going after and investigating the senators supposedly for sedition because they are undermining the military. They are encouraging the military to defy orders, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like,
That's a normal reaction.
They're talking about illegal orders. And they're like, well, they're implying that our orders are illegal and therefore they should be ignored.
No. Nobody's implying anything, assholes.
Well, okay. Look, the clear...
No. You're not going... Listen. Listen. I'm sorry. When you're saying that, you know, you're not saying that all the orders are illegal,
right,
you should examine the orders that you're being given.
Yes.
I mean, are there some orders that sounded illegal? Yeah, but you're not directly challenging any individual order. When, especially, you know, when all you're saying is, hey, remember your oath.
Yes.
That's
basically all they said.
If telling somebody, remember your oath to the other person, it sounds like an accusation. Guess what?
Yes.
You're the one with the problem because you are carrying a guilty conscience around because you know you're breaking the law.
Exactly. Now, just realistically, the path for rejecting illegal order is a hard path. Like, if you're some schlub who's at a low level of the military and you just, on your own decide, hey, this order sounds illegal, I'm not going to do it. The process from that point in time to you being vindicated and, you know, it's fraught.
It's lengthy. It's not easy. Yeah.
And you are likely, you know, damaging your career by making that choice. But, you know, this is why the reminder is good that it is actually your responsibility to do so.
Unfortunately, Sam, such is the life of many times making the right decision.
And so anyway, they got extremely defensive. They got aggressive in the ways we talked about. And then later in the week, a leak came out about Secretary Hegseth that you were mentioning. Specifically, the very first time they went after one of these boats off the coast of Venezuela that they claim are running drugs or whatever they're claiming, there were survivors that were clinging to the wreckage. And Hegseth specifically ordered a second strike to go back and just kill them all.
Right.
This is something where now
flat out a criminal act.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a very strong argument that the first attack on these boats, that every attack on these boats is a criminal act.
It's a criminal act.
But it's at least an argument where people, you know, could have a good faith argument about whether or not there's a legal justification. I think the answer is no. But for the second attack, it is clearly 100%, you know, Geneva Convention, U.S. law, everything going back wherever, that the military going after and attacking non-combatants intentionally who pose no threat whatsoever because they are already injured, taken out of the battle, whatever. It's 100% a war crime, undeniable. Like there's not even, like, you usually, when these things get reported, you have at least some of sort of the conservative military experts, you know, giving some sort of justification. They've been remarkably silent on this one. And so, like, after this whole start of the week with people talking about, you know, hey, it's important to say no to illegal orders, remember your oath, blah, 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 and the administration blowing up against that. Oh, look, here's Hegseth giving a clearly illegal order and having it followed just a few months ago, and almost unambiguously so. And of course, this is why they don't want anybody thinking about whether an order is illegal or not. They just want obedience because they are 100% doing things that are illegal and are contemplating more, both internationally and domestically. I mean, Trump and company have talked about the things they want to do, bringing military into cities.
Is there a statute of limitations on prosecuting Hegseth for something like that? Do you know? Off the top of my head, I haven't researched it.
I haven't researched either. I think U.S. law might be difficult because of various things about, you know, granting immunity.
Fine.
I don't think there are statutes of limitations on war crimes and crimes against humanity internationally.
Turn his ass over to the International Criminal Court.
Well, I actually posted that on Blue Sky. I'm like, the next administration needs to.
First thing is arrest them, put them on a fucking plane, and dump them in The Hague.
Administrations of both parties have rejected the authority of the ICC for years because they're afraid the ICC would go after Americans. The next Democrat in office has to say, fuck all that. We recognize the ICC. And if Americans do something bad, they absolutely should be put to account for it.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, here's the whole damn Trump administration. Take them, please, and do what you see, do what needs to be done. Because clearly our system failed at that.
Handling
January 6th and all that kind of stuff. We failed utterly at actually bringing Trump to justice over that. But just take the whole damn administration and
hand them over to the ICC. Of justice not served. For some reason, and I haven't found yet why that is, Trump announced this morning the pardon for a Honduran ex-president convicted of drug trafficking, who was serving a 45-year sentence. Just did that today. I don't know why. I'm not sure what the payoff or the thing that he got. I'm sure it's got to, you know, he's got to be making money off of this somehow.
Of course.
He went I'm going after Maduro for drug trafficking. I'm going to pardon somebody else that just got convicted last year of this.
Well, yes. And speaking of previous administrations, getting consequences for their actions, I remember a while back when Trump was being prosecuted, I think Bruce on our Slack asked about, like, you know, this is just like, you know, the danger of the new administration going after the previous administration, leading to a cycle, and asking, you know, what countries do this? Has this happened, especially during a campaign? And of course, you know, we have examples. We have Netanyahu in Israel, although that he hasn't been brought to justice either. We've had things happening in Korea. Of course, we just had ex-president of Brazil go to jail this week after apparently Donald Trump was planning on busting him out and rescuing him, but they arrested him first. I just saw something about apparently Peru has a whole bunch of ex-presidents in jail.
Yes, that is true. Yes.
And a new that one just got arrested this week.
Yeah.
It's
Brazil has sent more than one president to jail. I mean, this isn't the first one. I mean, the current president had been in jail.
Yes.
Okay.
No, and look, yeah, you can have a scenario that's unhealthy where just every administration automatically puts the previous administration in jail. That's not what we're talking about here, and that is unhealthy. But if they're actual crimes, then absolutely people should be held to account. You know,
but by the way, in almost all the cases that we're talking about here, look, there have been criminal acts. This isn't, you know, you know, hey, you want to stop going to jail? How about you stop being a criminal?
Yes. Well, of course, the whole view here is the reason you try to get power is so that you're exempt from all those laws and you can do whatever the hell you want.
Right. Yes.
This is why you accumulate lots of money. This is why you become president of a country. This is why you, you know, go into politics more generally, I guess. I don't know. It's all about corruption and power for a significant group of these folks.
There is a big group of these people that are like that. I do agree. But one thing that I had observed in the past in the U.S. is that that number was lower. Used to be.
Used
lower
to be.
In the U.S.
Used to be.
Okay.
And you honestly did have lots of people. And you know, look, I've got family who's in politics.
Let me give you a good example.
A lot of people who are actually in it because they thought this was a good way to, it was public service and it was making the country better. And they were helping.
Let me give you a great example. AOC and MTG, I think, got to Congress both around the same time, pretty close. Okay. Uh-huh. Not that far off.
Right.
So MTG left Congress and now has a net worth of $35 million, according to the latest financial reports that she had filed. Okay. How much do you think AOC is worth?
More than she was with when she was a waitress, but she's not like crazy rich.
Not by a lot. Okay. Less than $100,000. It's her total net worth right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. According to the latest filing. I mean, what I said, you could clearly see that one person was in it for the grift. And one person was in it for service.
Right.
I like my congressman Louis that I had for that because the district changed is not a congressman anymore, Louis Frankel. I still remember that, you know, at one time I was flying to DC, I was in coach, and she was sitting in coach right beside me. You know?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, and I know that from her financial reports that she also, you know, didn't, you know, enrich herself in some crazy manner while in the house. You almost see very, especially in recent times, that a lot of these grifters just amassing incredible amounts of wealth while they are in their seat. I mean, I think, you know, Sinema was a Democrat, but there's a reason why people wanted her out. Sinema amassed a multi-million-dollar fortune while she was in the Senate.
Right.
Out of the blue. And you're like, you know,
you've seen these things, right, that like are saying, hey, Congress does a lot of insider trading because they get information and blah, 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 where people have actually set up investment funds where the only thing they do is they track the disclosures of prominent Congress people and politicians and copy their trades. And those funds have done pretty well.
And they would, well, it, obviously, one of the things that there is a timing issue between the time that they traded the disclosure.
And the disclosure.
So if you were able to trade, so if you were able to trade, you know, at the moment that they did.
Right.
But this is the kind of shit that we're living with. And if you know why I said that you need to do an anti
anti-Project 2025 plan?
Yes.
It should be somewhere on your to-do list. I didn't see it.
It was not on the list. It was not on the list.
I need to somehow add it. I need to bribe Alex to give me your PIN code.
Yes.
You know, yeah, yeah.
Text him and give him the right offer. He'd probably text it back to you.
Yes. I think there's my make the right offer. He'd probably just give it to me. Okay. All right. Okay. So look, I think that these things need to be a priority in terms of legislation that needs to be passed right away. That you need to fucking make so many of these changes.
Right.
And including constitutional amendments.
Well, yeah.
That need to be proposed to fix a lot of
issues. We've been saying since the first Trump administration that reforms to make it impossible for the kind of abuses that have been going on. And yeah, I say because of the Trump administration, but it's not just Trump, obviously. Make these things that have been exposed as not, you know, either not illegal at all with under current law, or the laws that exist are toothless and impossible to enforce. Fix that. And, you know, make some of these things, you know, all of the corruption we're seeing, all of the abuse of power, blah, 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 make it impossible. The problem is that even when, like, the Democrats are in power, there's a significant chunk of Democrats who are like, I'm not so sure about this because this is constraining their own power, too.
I don't care. It shouldn't matter.
And their own ability to be corrupt.
It shouldn't matter. I don't care. I don't care.
No, I don't care either, but what we've seen is these things have a hard time getting traction and have a hard time getting passed.
It's happened before.
It has happened before. Generally, when reforms happen is in the wake of extraordinarily bad abuses. And if anything at all, that's what's happening right now.
That's what's happening right now. And that's what needs to be a cornerstone of getting back into power. It needs to be to do all the things. I'll tell you. I mean, things I mean, I don't
the,
think
the best o- case listen, the DOJ, best case scenario
example,
coming out of
thing. Yeah, DOJ should not report to the president anymore. DOJ should be independent.
Independence of DOJ, that whole mindset was a direct result of Watergate. You know, and what I was going to say,
Watergate scandal.
Yes. Well, the best case scenario right now in a post-Trump world is that we have the same kind of counter reaction that we had after Watergate. After Watergate, all sorts of reforms were passed to make the kind of abuses that, you know, frankly, not just Nixon, but Johnson and Kennedy were doing before them. Make that impossible, or at least very hard. And those protections obviously didn't last forever, but they lasted for a good long while before they started getting eroded away.
What he showed is that they weren't even strong enough. They need to be stronger, is my point.
Right. Yes. And so, yeah, our best case scenario is Trump and his administration and the Republican grifters in general screw things up so badly that there is a massive call to fix these problems that's big enough that it can get rammed through Congress and whoever's the next president. And you do restrict all these powers and make it a lot harder to do these abuses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. And crack down on this, to go back to the topic, you know, make it easier to resist illegal orders, make it clearer what's an illegal order, make it supports for that on the military side of things. And join the ICC and turn all these damn people over to them.
Yeah.
So that's about all I had. You got anything else on this, or should we start wrapping things up? We went extra long last week, so we can go short today.
Yeah, we can wrap things up.
Okay. Go to curmudgeons-corner.com. You can see all our transcripts. You can yes, I'm done here. You know, it is clearly time to wrap up. And, you know, anyway, you can see our transcripts. You can see all the ways to contact us. You can see all kinds of fun stuff. Old shows, our archives going back to the beginning. And, of course, you can link to our Patreon to give us money. Give me lots of money so I don't ever have to go back to a corporate job. Please. Lots. You know, it'd be helpful. Anyway, at various levels on the Patreon, we will mention you on the show. We will ring a bell. We will send you a postcard. We will send you a mug, all that kind of stuff. At $2 a month or more, or if you just ask us, we will invite you to our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, where Yvonne and I and a bunch of other folks are talking throughout the week, sharing links, all that kind of stuff. Yvonne, what is a highlight from the Slack this week that we have not talked about on the show?
I got a couple. Okay,
a couple, yes.
Some male wellness influencer said, 99% of modern guys don't have tan balls. Semen retention length, 5+ days. Testosterone, 700+, NGDL. Lean mass, sub 10% body fat. Any Bitcoin, their life in order. Literally, the bar is set so extremely low. It's not that hard to be a 1% man. So, Sam, when are you going to start tanning your balls?
I don't know what you're talking about, Yvonne. Like, I've been doing that for years, like every day.
Oh!
You know? Okay. It's an important part of my routine. You know, and when you can't get outside to do it in the sun, they make machines.
They make a little machine. So you like, okay, all right.
Yeah, it's like a tanning bed, but just for your balls.
Another thing that I saw, they had this Consumer Reports, yes, this thing where they were showing like really bad devices. Okay, all right, devices that were a problem. Okay, devices that have issues. Okay, so they said, hey, 10 devices you shouldn't buy. So they had scored poorly the MicroLife Advanced Digital Monitor, which is a blood pressure monitor, $40. Okay. They gave it an overall score of 33. They didn't get it down into the red. It was only orange, which is like the color before red. But this is the reason why I said, and I'm a little bit baffled why they didn't score it a zero, okay? This device got a dismal score for accuracy and stores memory for only one user. On the plus side, it has a large display and is easy to read. And I'm like, look, if I buy a fucking blood pressure monitor,
yes,
the one thing I expect it to do is that it reads the blood pressure accurate. I couldn't give a shit about an easy to read display that shows me the wrong fucking blood pressure.
Now, wait a second, Yvonne. This gives me a business idea. Okay. Because not blood pressure monitors specifically.
Okay.
But my son, very often, when he doesn't feel like going to school, gets out the fever thermometer and is taking it over and over and over again to try to show us that he's got a fever and he shouldn't go to school. And you know, like Ferris Bueller had that whole thing where he faked being sick.
Yes, yes.
We need to sell thermometers. That specifically,
you can tell it what temperature you want it to show.
Exactly. You had a little adjustment dial on the back and we market this to, you know, preteens and teenagers so that they can fool their parents. Oh no, I'm sick.
I'm sick. Can't look go at to this. School. Look at this thing. Right. You know, what you do forget, you know, the old, not a thermometer you put in your head. You know, you got those digital ones that go, you know, they put on the top of it. Right. Listen, to make this cheap, the cheapest thing is you did this, you built a little thing. All you got is just an input, you know, just a little lever where you select the temperature you wanted to show. And so you press the button, it beeps, and voila, it just shows that wrong number.
I don't know why we are not billionaires, Yvonne. With ideas like this,
we're pretty bad at execution, it seems.
It seems so. I mean, look, this clearly would be a market.
Plus, we don't have tan balls. You do have Bitcoin.
I do have a little bit. I long ago got rid of most of the bit nickel I bought, and so I don't have very much left, but I have some.
But but but
there, but listen, but we are not sub 10% body fat. That I can assure you.
What? I don't know what you're looking at. I am svelte. I am.
No. Listen, less than 10% body fat. I mean, we're not at that level.
I got the six pack going on. No, I got a 12 pack.
You gotta do the six pack. I saw some guy the other. I saw some guy the other day when he did shirtless. Was it a game? Was that he shaved like the hairs on his belly in order to make it? It kind of like from afar looked like he had a six pack. But what he did was just shave the hairs
in the pattern.
Appropriate in the pattern. Yes.
Okay, then. That's interesting. I guess you could draw it on with a marker or something too.
You could do that too.
Yeah.
I've seen T-shirts. I mean, you know, these are about as good as the pull-ups that Pete Hegseth did with RFK Jr., where they supposedly both did.
Oh, that kind of pull-up. I thought you were talking like diapers.
Yeah, like they were doing. No, not diapers. That's Trump's thing. But they were doing RFK. They were doing supposed exercises that the form was so. They didn't do any of the exercises they said they were doing to try to show how manly they are.
Right. Okay. One last thing for me. I will mention my Juke Potter site again, jukepotter.com. The next thing on my to-do list is sort of try to fix bugs. And I know there's a bunch of places where it's sort of not, it works most of the time, but there are things that occasionally glitch out. So please, folks, I want some traffic. Go to jukepotter.com, play with it, try to explore, find some podcasts. Send me some feature requests. I'm only about halfway through my list of features I want to add to the thing, so I've got more stuff to add, but send me feature requests. Check out the sponsors. I've got, like, right now, I've got, you know, they're not 12 real sponsors because nobody's paying me money, but I put in my 4 podcasts and 8 more from the Snohomish Podcast Network, where if you have filtered to something where that podcast would qualify, it boosts them. And I've got a whole backend system tracking how many views and clicks and blah, 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 so that, like, it could potentially be tied to billing. So test that stuff out so I can see if it works and send me feedback and things I should improve on it. Because the very next thing on my list is, like, to bash some of these bugs. So if you have any, report them to me. And you know, all my contact information, you can find me on the Curmudgeon's Corner website I listed earlier, curmudgeon-corner.com. And yeah, that's it. I'm still working on Robin Letter too. But there's not stuff to share yet. Everything I'm doing is sort of still internal, other than the brochure page. Anyways, and I guess Yvonne says I should make this to-do list thing a project too, like a yes. Public product. So
yes,
I'll work on that. I had been thinking about that anyway, but maybe I'll actually start thinking. Okay, what do I do to make this multi-user? Anyway. That's it. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. If you did the Thanksgiving thing, my mother came over. We had dinner. It was fun. You know, we did the thing. So hope everybody else had a good time too. Have a great week. Stay safe. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, I think I'm going to go eat next, Yvonne, even if I don't randomly roll that I should eat right now, because I think that's still fairly low on the list, so I would be days before I eat if I waited for that to come up, so.
Okay, that would be it. I like your plan. Okay, all right.
Okay, see you later. Bye. Hit and stop.